And I trust the Lord will help us. A lot of things I'm going to say this morning will more or less be a kind of a rehash of some of the things that I've said out of these verses. But I intend to preach from them this morning, and Lord willing, at least one more time tonight, if God will help me out of these same scriptures again in the evening hour. And while praying this morning, the Lord told me what to preach tonight. And I'll tell you, it's amazing. I was sitting there praying for this hour, and He told me what to preach for tonight. And I began to jot some things down on a piece of paper, and it just come to me just like a clock rolling up on the minutes. It just kept a coming. And I feel like I've got to God's mind for both services, and so I trust that I will have. Song of Solomon, chapter number 3, and verse number 1. By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till it please. And all God's people said,
Amen
to the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Our Father, I'm thankful this morning again for the privilege of being in the house of God. I thank You for Thy Word that's been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path all these years. I thank You, Lord, for the grace of Calvary that I find on every page. I thank You for the Lord Jesus, our Beloved, who loved us and gave Himself for us. And it's my prayer that You would help us to draw nigh to God, for we cannot draw nigh to Thee except Thou help us, for without Thee we can do nothing. And so help us this hour to draw nigh to God, that God might draw nigh to us. Be our intercessor, our mediator, our great high priest. Be our teacher, our preacher, our instructor in the Word of God. Be our spirit of anointing, our oil of gladness. Be our joy and grace that only You can give. I do pray that You'll stir up the hearts of Your people, that they might seek after God whom they love. And I pray, Lord, for souls today, for sinners, for the defiled in the way, for the lost and the dying, for those, Lord, that have been separated by sin, and there is something between You and them, that's the sins of their heart. Draw them, I pray, to Calvary, and forgive them, pardon them, that they might have peace and understanding today. Save old sinners for the glory of God. Anoint the preacher. I need the anointing power of God this day upon me. I do pray that You'll visit us in an unusual way. We seek Thy presence in the house of God. Manifest it here in this place today, that we all might leave saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Grant me the liberty and the power that I need. Touch me by Your Spirit and fill me by the same. And I'll thank You for all that You do in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Our Scripture will be in verse 3 and a portion this morning of verse number 4. The Bible said, "The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth." I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, on have you found Him yet? Have you found Him yet? I've been preaching these days out of these verses, on the absence of God from the church and her diligent search of Him whom her soul loved, the Lord Jesus. And I trust today that He is the one that you love. There may be times that we grow cold and indifferent on the Lord, and our hearts seem to stray from Him. But there's always something down in our soul that reminds us that we love Him. And we're thankful that God does love us. You know, I believe that the greatest need in the church in the generation that we're living in is that we might find Christ. That we might find the Lord Jesus, whom our soul loved. You know, He first found us and saved us. And it is your and my responsibility right now, after Him having found us, that we might find Him. I read sometime where a preacher said that the Lord come to seek and to save that which was lost, and He finds sinners and saves them by the grace of God. And then it is that saved man's responsibility to spend the rest of his life in search of God. God said, well, preacher, we can't spend all of our life. I want to say to you that if you ever find Him in one particular way, you will learn that He can manifest Himself in several different ways to you, and that it is our responsibility to find Him in all those ways. We're to find Him as the bread of life and the satisfier of our soul. We ought to find Him as the fountain that we drink from, as the hidden manna that satisfies us, as the restorer of our soul when we're in the valley. But God can manifest Himself in numerous ways and in numerous, I don't want to say characters or personalities, for He only has one character and one personality. But we can find Him in many ways of life that He might satisfy the longings of our soul. And it's our responsibility to seek Him, church, all the days of our life, that He may do that. But I'll say also that we ought to seek Him that we might do as David said in Psalm number 71 in verse 18. That we might show Him unto this generation, and His power, show His strength to this generation, and His power to all that is to come. Hey, I want to say to you that that is my first and foremost responsibility as a man of God in this place, is to get behind this pulpit and the best of my ability to show you His wonderful strength and His power to this generation and to all that are to come. I'm not to magnify myself nor the flesh. I'm not to magnify some man nor pat you on the back or brag about you or a deacon or a song that somebody sang. I am to magnify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, show me Jesus this morning. That is right. I'm telling you, my friend, you may see me this morning and it never have a lick of effect on you. You may meet somebody else in church today and it won't have a lick of effect on you, but I'll guarantee you one thing. If you will see Jesus this morning, He will change you to the glory of God. You cannot come in contact with the glorious second person of the Godhead without Him changing your life, amen, and blessing your soul, amen, and making you a different person than you was when you came to the house of God. Well, I tell you, the greatest need this morning of the hour is for Jesus again to walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks and to hold the angels of the churches in the power of His glorious right hand in authority. No, that's right. We need Him. We don't need programs. We need Jesus. Amen. We don't need showmanship. We need the Lord. We don't need new singing groups. We need the Lord to get on the choir and to get on the individual that we might see Christ in them as they sing to the glory of God. I believe somebody might want to turn that air on. Or is anybody too warm? Leave her alone then. I tell you, what we need is Christ in this place. Hallelujah to God. His presence is the greatest need of the hour. That we have. Oh yes, I know that's right. I know that's right. Now this little bride has been looking for Him. She first looked on her bed of ease while living in a sleepy, lazy, and complacent state. But the Bible said she found Him not. It was by night on her bed that she sought Him, but she found Him not. I want to say to you that we'll never find Him in a sleepy, lazy, complacent, indifferent kind of a attitude or spirit or frame of mind. Amen to God. She looked for Him there, but she never found it. Now, she did bestir herself to some degree in verse number 2. She said, I will now rise. I will now rise and look for Him in the streets of the city, in the public places. But you found Him not there again. And drifting even further from God, she said, I'm going to look for Him in the broadways. You're not going to find... Hey, she has got a long way from God now, friend. You're not going to find Him in the broad lane of living. You're going to have to narrow that thing down. Somebody said, Paul is too narrow-minded. I would to God that not only you, but all that hear me, amen to God, and all in the churches everywhere would get a little more narrow-minded. They might find Him because He is narrow-minded, my friend. I'm going to tell you what Baptist minds are like, rubber bands. They just fill up with everything and just keep getting bigger. Amen. Till they fill up the Broadway. But the problem is, they're filling up their minds with everything, trying to find Him in hymn sayings. You ain't going to find Him in hymn sayings. You ain't going to find Him sitting somewhere in a lawn chair with your backside hanging out and your flesh to show it. No, sir. No, you're not going to find Him in ecumenical gatherings, because two cannot walk together except they be agreed. But I'll tell you where you'll find it. Down in an old-fashioned, hallelujah, shouting Baptist church where folks walk in one accord, amen, in the unity of the faith and believing God, having love for Him and one another, and then we might find Him. I know that's right. Now, you know one reason she didn't find Him in those places? She said, I will rise now. I'll rise. That tells me that what she was doing was rising in the energy of her own flesh. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. Christ is a spiritual being. And you'll never find Him. Hey, by the way, we are carnal beings. We dwell in this flesh. And you will never find Him, my friend, in the energy of your flesh. It will take being stirred in your spiritual man, stirring up your spiritual man, and only the Holy Ghost has the power to stir up the spiritual man and to glorify Christ. Oh yes, when He has come, He will glorify Christ. You better believe it is. Oh yes, and He will point sinners to Him that we might find Him and rejoice in Him who is the lover of our souls. Bless His wonderful name. Now, she didn't find Him there. She ended once again her search in failure. Didn't find Him on the bed. Didn't find Him in the streets. Didn't find Him in the broadways. And she ended in failure. But I want you to notice something here now. In our text verse, it says there that the watchmen that go about the city found me. She didn't find the watchman. The watchman found her. Amen. And may I say that that is the responsibility of the watchman to find her. Whoa! Who is she? I've been preaching it for weeks. She's the church. And it's the watchman's responsibility to find the church. Where the church is. Where the church heart is beating. Where their mind is thinking. Oh yes, where they're living. Somebody said, I don't like the preacher getting on my toes and down where I'm living. I want to remind you that it is my responsibility through the preaching of the Word of God to probe your heart and to examine your faith and to find out right where you're living for God. Yes, sir. And if it's my responsibility, if you're asleep like she was, to ring the alarm clock and tell you that the sun has risen, it's time to get out of bed and rejoice in what God has done for you. The lover of your soul has paid you a visit. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I need your help. I wish to God you was here on Tuesdays. Amen. You're going to have to call one of these men aside in here and rub off on them a little bit. Amen. Call them in a side room and say, what's the matter, deadbeat? Amen. I need the help. Amen. A preacher needs the help. Some of you that's never stood up here don't know. But I need something besides a long-grown face looking at me every now and then. A smile, a tear, a nod of the head, an amen. A jump up and raise your hand, do something. But my God, every now and then, get up and talk back to me while I'm a preacher. Amen. Now look here. She found him. These watchmen found her. Now, who are these watchmen? She didn't find the watchman. She wasn't looking for the watchman. But the watchman knew quite well who she is looking for. And and the watchman had the answer to where it could be found. Some of y'all think the preacher ain't nothing but a moron. Amen. And some of you listen to long-tongued heifers and Jezebels in the church and make your decisions on that more than you listen to the man of God. I'm here to tell you that it's time some of you realize that God, and I'm not bragging on me, but God has set a man of God here, and it would behoove you to listen to Him and not some long-tongued woman. Amen. And like the old proverb, it has happened again, and it shall keep on happening. Till somebody gets right with God. Amen. Ain't we going to have fun? We are if somebody don't smile. I can tell you that. But the watchman found her. And by the way, they knew where she was and where to look for her. That's why they could find her. The preacher knows where the church is at. I look at you three times a week. I talk to you. And you talk to me. And I'm not an ignorant fool. Oh no. All you got to do is strike up a conversation. And the Holy Ghost will pretty quick let me know where you're living, what's going through your mind, and what your problem is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm not telling you that to hurt you. I'm telling you that to let you know that the watchmen are set there by God on the wall, and they're there, my friend, to be a watchman over the house of God. Amen. Buddy, I feel God on me today. Woo! Woo! Brother Wayne stirred me up in Sunday school, boy. Amen. Talking about that ephod and that breastplate and that robe and that mitre and that coat and that girdle and all that. Yes. Stirred me up, son. Yes, sir. Hallelujah to God. Yes. Got my motor to a running. Amen. Yes. To God. Now, these watchmen apparently gave her some godly advice. For shortly after her departure, she found it. She found it. It was but a little while that I passed from them that I found Him whom my soul loveth, and I would not let Him go until I brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I'm going to preach on that a little while tonight. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Yes! Some of you need to know what that house is and what those chambers are. Hallelujah to God. It wasn't through a screen door. Then it's a house of God! I don't believe in screen door evangelism. And I don't believe on shaking somebody's hand and getting you in. Bless your heart, I got in down in an old-fashioned Baptist church under old-time Holy Ghost heartfelt preaching, and I'm satisfied if any sinner gets in, they will get in the same door that I walk through. Now, God may work in your life differently to bring you to the door, but there ain't but one door. That's it. There's not but one way and one door and one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God who is over all and in all. Blessed be His wonderful day from this day even forever. Hallelujah to God. Right. Now they gave her some godly advice. Because it wasn't long after she left him that she found him whom her soul loved. Now, who are these watchmen? Some folks think that they're angels. A manifestation of angels. They weren't angels. No, they were not angels. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Neither were they false teachers. If you turn over to chapter number 5, you'll find that they mistreated her. They molested that little old bride. They mistreated her in a terrible way. They were not true ministers of God. They were false prophets, false teachers. And bless the Lord, our community and our land, America, is eat up with a bunch of cults, amen to God, parasites, apostates that never knew the Lord, don't know the Lord, and some of them have blasphemed God, sealed their soul to eternity, and they're going to hell. And I said, preacher, you oughtn't to preach that way. Oh, no, it's time somebody did. I'm fed up this outfit trying to tell me you can baptize your way into heaven. One of them cults from the Church of Christ over in Muhlenberg County said that the doctrine of eternal salvation, or once saved, always saved, began in the garden with the devil. Contribute. Now look here, once saved, always saved, and it's not in the Bible, but eternal salvation and eternal life is. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, the devil was not the author of eternal life. He doesn't have an ounce of life in him. He doesn't have an ounce of life in him. He is, my friend, oh yes, he is the instigator of death and very death itself, and death and hell follow him everywhere he goes. And I'm going to tell you, friend, who's the author of life? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? It's His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Then there's another cult around that puts on their shirts plumb down to their wrist. And their women let their hair grow like Rapunzel. Oh, and they believe in Jesus. And you've got to be saved by the blood of Jesus. But if you ain't never been baptized in His name, you didn't get nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you, when they put that butt, that makes them a billy goat. And that's exactly what they are. A herd of billy goats. Because when they put that "but," what they're doing, my friend, is dropping off saved by the blood of Christ and emphasizing the baptistry pool in the water. And no flesh, no man, no woman has ever been justified by dipping themselves in a tub of water that takes the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from a sin, A-L-L-A-double-L, all sin. God, help me. Y'all don't help me, I'm going to kill myself. I want to say that these watchmen were true ministers of Christ. Are you listening to me? True ministers of Christ. Isaiah 62:6. I have set watchmen. Where at, Lord? Upon the wall. Where they can get a good look. On the wall! Where they can look out and where they can look in on the wall. O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. That watchman on the wall is not going to stop preaching when it's in the night season, and he's not going to stop preaching when it's in the day season. He is there on the wall day and night, friend, and holds not his peace. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Isaiah said, let the watchman on the wall, let her rip in the daytime, let her rip in the night season, and don't be silent, that my people might learn where they are, that they might find Christ. Have you found Him yet? That's your name. Ezekiel 33:7. So then, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. Not for me. From me. Put your ear to God, preachers! And don't look at their faces. Get what God tells you to say and proclaim it on the rooftop. If it hair lifts the devil, son, proclaim it loud and clear in the house of God, that all that sin may be rebuked, and all that are rebuked of sin may learn to fear God. Woo! Are you listening? These watchmen must first watch over themselves, lest they become a castaway. That's right, friend. Don't be diverted by the world's frowns, neither by their flatteries. Oh, preacher, you are the greatest preacher I've ever heard. You lying devil. That was such a glorious discourse. I'd rather hear some folks say, preacher, he was right this morning. He's just right. And then you got this kind. I ain't afraid of your frowns. Not their frowns or their flatterers. And you know, hey, neither one of them are going to sway me an ounce. You know why? I've been to the upper room. I've got my marching orders. I've been on long distance to the third world. And a holy God done put in my heart what I'm to preach. And like Dr. Sadler said, how can I be still when I feel the presence of God down in my soul? That's right. Got to first watch over themselves. Beware of finances, females, and foolishness. Walk uprightly, honestly, and in holiness. And somebody said, why, preacher? Listen, for if they know not how to rule their own home and family, how shall they know how to rule in the house of God? I'm telling you, friend, a preacher that cannot control himself in his own house and with his own family and rule them in holiness and righteousness, he ought to step down from the ministry. I'm telling you right. A man that'll lose his cool with his own family has no business. Oh, if he can't take a little ribbon from his own kids or wife, he'll surely to God fall and crumble, my friend, when everybody in church don't do just exactly like he thinks they ought to do. Are y'all still listening to me? Huh? He ought to walk uprightly. By the way, he ought to conduct himself in holding. Turn around, Brother Rick, in the car, son. They ought to conduct themselves and walk honestly and uprightly. They ought to be righteous. And it, now, look, now, don't nobody leave me now. I'm fixing to get right down where some of y'all is living. They ought, and all of us, not just a preacher, but we all, my friend, ought to have proper conduct. And by the way, we ought to have the right kind of dress standards. I want to ask you something this morning. How would you feel if I walked to the pulpit this morning with a pair of sandals on and a beads around my neck and an earring in my ear? Maybe with a pair of Bermuda shorts on. Somebody said, this is church. What's any difference in church and out there? I'm going to tell you what it boils down to. In here, I will allow you to sin and let you die and go to hell. And out there, I'll help them to sin and send them to hell likewise. But I'm going to tell you something, neighbor, on the same order. What about dress standards on everybody else? You know what I read in last night's paper? I want everybody to listen to this. I want everybody to listen to this. 60% of the schools in New York City require uniforms. Philadelphia just passed an ordinance that all schools in the Philadelphia, whatever it is up there, will all wear uniforms. Huh? They had a big caption in the newspaper, two boys walking. One of them had on old baggy britches, and they both of them did, and their hats turned around sideways, and one of them said, man, I don't know why they want to make us wear uniforms and all of us look alike. Had their hind end pants dragging out the tracks in the back end. And they hats on backwards and sideways. Sloppy. Sloppy. But I'm going to tell you what bothers me. This one will. When God's people, friend, will dress just as sloppy, oh yes, and gaudy, as they can possibly get and try to look down. Oh, some of you kids, bless your heart, when you come to school, you ought to put on some of the finest clothes you've got to come to church, come to school, and let folks know that you are a child of God. Tell you what kids do. Want to wrap clothes around them and tie them around them and just old baggy, saggy clothes, and they'll have any neatness or attractiveness to them whatsoever. And probably the reason they get it is because their mommies and daddies is that way. Are you listening to me, friend? When we start next year, we won't put up with it. Not while I occupy this position. Huh? Sloppy. Try to look like that crowd out there and let people, and be in here. Don't work. I better hurry. My time's slipping away. The watchmen are to watch for all opportunities to preach the gospel. It is a watchman's duty to give the time of night to the church to remind her of the condition she is in and endeavor to awake her. It is the minister's work to give notice of any approaching danger. Now, right here's where the rubber meets the road, friend. Any approaching danger from without and from within. I keep my eye on it. Hey, as a fella come in here on Tuesday night and stood right back there with his hands in his pockets, would not speak to me, wouldn't speak to nobody else, sat back there and stared and gulped, had his hands in his pockets like this all night long, wouldn't sit down. I'm going to tell you something, son. I had a .380 automatic laying right there, and I done told my wife one false move. Now, I never said a thing about it. I preached a message God had on my heart. But I'm here to tell you, friend, there's some folks Oh, it is my response. Somebody said, preacher, that's ugly of you. That's bad of you. But it is a God-given responsibility to watch on the outside for approaching danger that will harm or molest the sheep of God's pasture. Amen. And in like manner, it's my responsibility to look for dangers on the inside. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Another one of them dangers stuck its head up. And I'm going to take a broad axe. And when it stretches it out on the block, I'm aiming to cut this go-round. I'm aiming to cut the egg sucker plumb off at the stump. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I want to serve notice on this church. I am your pastor. Not somebody that sits on the pew. You're looking at your pastor, and when he does not satisfy you any longer, raise your head and I'll go diddy mow down the road, as they said in Vietnam. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to be the pastor. I'm going to tell you why. Because I've got to face God with it one day. Yes, sir. Are y'all listening? It's a minister's responsibility to point out danger. Through the discharge of these watchmen's duty, they found the church. That is the preacher. I believe I found it in these verses in Song of Solomon. And it's a lack of the presence of God. Oh, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Lord be my helper tonight. I'm going to preach on how to bring Jesus to the church house with you. God help us. God help us. But if you don't bring Him, He will not be here. If somebody don't bring Him, He will not show up. He dwells in people. Now, I'm on 3 points and I'm done. 12:30, I ought to be done by 12:45. Some folks that found Him. Some folks that found Jesus and where they found Him is of significant importance to us. I want to say, first of all, that the shepherds found Jesus at His birth in the stall. You know Luke chapter number 2, the shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Sounds to me like some folks were asleep. Keeping watch over their flocks by night. The Bible said that an angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And He gave them a message. The angel said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, where? In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. Now I'm going to tell you what, friend, those shepherds gave ear to the voice of the angels and made their way off to the city of David, to Bethlehem, to a manger, to a stable, to a little place of poverty and insignificance. And it was there that the Bible said that when they come with haste, they made haste. They didn't tarry, friend. The Bible said in verse number 20, I'll find it, number 16, that they made haste. They didn't tarry. When they learned where He was at, they arose and went that they might gaze upon the King of glory, the Lord of lords, hallelujah to God, the Savior of mankind. Do you not want to see Him? Let's stand Him on a rock. Let's stand on a rock today and let all of His glory pass by. Yes, sir, let's fall down in a temple and worship at His feet, my friend, because He's worthy of that. Let's sit down in the upper room together and lay our head on His bosom. Amen. And listen as He tells us glorious things that are about to happen. Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to tell you what it said. And they made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And by the way, the Greek for the word manger is a stall. They found Him in a lowly, humble place of poverty. No room for Him at the inn, but they found Him in the stall. Now I want to say to you, my friend, when there's no place for Him anywhere else, you can find Him this morning in the stall. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't want to find Him as a baby. I didn't say find Him as a baby. I said find Him in the stall. Oh, He was a baby, but He was more than a baby in that stall. He was Savior in that stall. Somebody said He was a baby. He was still a Savior in that stall. Have you found Him as a Savior yet? He was a King in that stall. He was Lord in that stall. If He wasn't Lord, pray tell me, why did the wise men and the shepherds fall down and worship Him as a little baby? You better believe He was a King of kings and Lord of lords and Savior of the souls of men. He was the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. They found Him that morning. He was the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. He was the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, my friend. He was the door, the bread of life. He's a great shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Hallelujah to God and the chief shepherd of our souls. When they found Him, they found all that He is. Woo! And they found Him in the stall. And the light shined right about. Somebody said, preacher, what about that stall? It was a manger. You know where I think they found? I think that manger was a place of humility. Oh, yes, sir, buddy. Just a lowly manger. It wasn't in the inn. It wasn't out the Holiday Inn or the Best Western or the Hyatt Regency or the Marriott. He was in a stable. There's animals in there with Him. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a straw tip. Not on a king-size bed. There was no jacuzzis or whirlpools there, friend. No, sir, no dining room, no pop machine, no coffee. No candy bar sandwiches, no T-bone steak. It was a place of poverty. That God allowed authority to be born in poverty. That through His poverty, you and I might be made rich. Hallelujah to His name. What a God. I want to say they found Him in a place of humility. And if you ever find Him, that's where you're going to find Him. Amen. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves.
Amen.
That's right. I'm going to tell you, some of us are going to have to get off our high horse, buddy.
Amen.
Get off of our high horse.
Amen.
That was her little problem when she said, I will now rise. I can do it. I'll find Him on my own. After all, I'm my own person. I don't need the pastor. I don't need church fellowship. I can draw up by myself and gossip on the phone, but I don't need nothing but a little phone gossip to get me by all the day long. I'm going to tell you what you need, friend. You need God. And you need to get off your high horse, your stout, stiff heart, and your stiff neck.
Amen.
And humble yourself and find Jesus. I mean, just finally confess that we are nobodies found in a dung hill. We're nothing. Amen. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I want to remind you that Jesus said in John 15:5 that without me, ye can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. You can't sing. You can't preach. You can't pray. You can't have church. You can't fellowship. You can't have harmony. You can't have peace. You can't have understanding. You can have absolutely nothing without Him.
Amen.
A place of humility. I want to say secondly, when those angels found Jesus, when those shepherds were in the field tonight and that angels and the whole heavenly host began to sing praises up to, all of heaven's host, we're singing praises, ladies and gentlemen. If heaven sang, what's wrong with us? But you know what that angel said? Said, fear not. For unto you this day is born unto you where? In the city of David. What is the city of David? Jerusalem. But what is it, folks? What takes place in Jerusalem? Sacrifice is good, Brother Wayne. Nothing wrong. It's a sight. That's right. I hadn't thought about that. But the city of David, the city of David, in that sense, is not necessarily a place of sacrifice. It's a place of kingly authority. That's the place where God's men ruled and reigned over the house of Israel in Jerusalem, son. And I'm going to tell you, they found Him in kingly authority. And son, if you ever find Him and get right with God, you'll have to find Him in kingly authority. You'll have to bow your unworthy knee, my friend, and acknowledge that He is the power and the authority over you. Oh yes, unto Him be glory and power, world without ages. Amen and amen. Son, there ain't many folks wants to bow that knee and say, "You're Lord." Because I'm going to tell you something, friend. When He's Lord, He calls the shots.
Amen.
Kingly authority. Those that did not bow their knee to the King and His authority were executed.
Amen.
As they said in Vietnam, kick it out. Cut your head off. You'll have to find Him.